After they were driven out of their promised land, the Israelites were living in captivity in foreign nations. One of these countries was Babylon. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was troubled by a dream he had and did not understand, and he could no longer sleep because of it. So he summoned anyone he thought could interpret his dream, magicians, sorcerers, and astrologers. They arrived before the king and asked him to tell them his dream so that they could interpret it. But the king would not tell them the dream. Instead, he asked the men to tell him what the dream was and what it meant. If they were unable to, he said, they would be killed. The men answered, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks." King Nebuchadnezzar was furious, so he ordered the execution of all of the wise men, the magicians, sorcerers, and astrologers living in Babylon. Guards were sent to look for one of the king's servants, an Israelite named Daniel, because he too was considered one of the wise men. Daniel wisely asked the commander of the king's guard for additional time to interpret the dream. Daniel went home and together with his friends prayed that God would help them interpret the king's dream. During the night, Daniel had a vision that revealed what the king's dream was and what it meant. When he awoke, Daniel praised God and went to speak to the commander of the king's guard. "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon," Daniel requested. "Take me to the king and I will interpret his dream for him." When Daniel arrived, the king asked, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." Then Daniel described the exact details of the king's dream. He described a giant statue made of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Daniel described how a rock struck the statue and smashed it to pieces. Then the wind swept up all the pieces of the statue and blew them away. But the rock that had struck the statue remained and grew into a huge mountain that filled the entire earth. Then Daniel told the king what the dream meant, sharing that the different parts of the statue represented the kingdom of Babylon and other kingdoms like it, and the rock that destroyed the statue represented God's kingdom, a kingdom that would never be destroyed. At this, King Nebuchadnezzar fell down before Daniel. "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king made Daniel the ruler of all of Babylon, gave him many gifts, and appointed Daniel's friends to help him oversee Babylon.
Hey, good morning. Hey, check out this card that Pastor Mark found for me on my birthday. It says New Day Rocks, and it has a trio of wrestlers, because New Day is apparently a WWE wrestling team. So, Pastor Mark, thank you very much for finding such an amazing card and blessing me with it today. You'll have a chance to meet Mark and Rachel this summer. If you come here in person, they're going to be the in-person hosts. Whether you want to be in this room like these people are this morning, hello people. We're also going to have an outdoor option. So if you're a little bit squirmier or you just want to be outside, you know, weather permitting, you can come and enjoy the same message that you would get at home. And, you know, why would you want to come and do that with other people? Well, if you're an introvert, you wouldn't. But today's message is going to explain some things about why it is important to get around other people. We cannot obey the commands of Jesus and be the church as a lone wolf by ourselves. So if you've been enjoying the Facebook Live version of this teaching, or you've been tuning in on a podcast I really want to encourage you, try an in-person option this summer. You can find out more about what we're doing in terms of continued safety measures on our website. So that's happening. In the message that you just heard, which is a continuation, the next chapter in our Believe book, what you see is Daniel was given for a specific moment in a specific place, a specific gift. He was given this vision of what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was. And it didn't come from him. It didn't come from his own talents. It could only come from God. We're going to look at how God continues to do that in different ways for those who follow and who believe him. It is Memorial Day weekend this weekend, where we remember people who gave their lives in service to this country. And I want to acknowledge and remember that and to consider what does that mean? What does that look like? It's actually helpful to us in the church to think about people on a mission dedicating themselves that way. If you look at different branches of military service, I mean, we got Jack in here. I want to say Marine Corps. Navy. The Marines don't go anywhere unless the Navy takes them there. Okay. So whatever branch of service you had, I knew there was a chance that I could insult you, but you weren't insulted at all. You just spun that around. You've been there before. That's wonderful. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it. There are different groups within the military that we describe as corps, and that's not C-O-R-E, corps. Here's a spelling lesson for everybody. That's C-O-R-P-S. Now, I can't explain for you why the French don't want us to pronounce the last letters on all of their words. So we just say corps, but if we were to say it as we would in English, it would sound like corpse, which sounds like a dead body, which actually helps us understand better what corps means, because it comes from the Latin corpus. And some of you are like, why does he talk about the words? And some of you are like, I love this stuff. Corpus, so if you're thinking about corpus, what does that make you think of? Corpus Christi, Texas, which of course means the body of Christ, Texas. Like, you start making connections, like, I'm sorry, I'm geeking out on words. Corpus meaning body. So the corps is a body. And as we know, bodies are made of unique individual parts that all help each other. When you go into the military, you take a series of tests and they find out your aptitudes and they figure out what is the best place for you to be based on your talents, based on your giftedness, based on the best way for you to serve the mission. This is helpful for us. The reason I'm going into this is because sometimes we think of the church and church membership as like, I think of when I hear the word membership, I think of my membership in Sam's Club or in my my local credit union. Like, all I do there is I'm just a consumer. I mean, I just put my money there, and that's what membership means to me. And then I have to renew it. I have to give them more money. But membership in a corps, membership in a body, to be a member is to be a part of the body. I think that's way more helpful in understanding the church than this idea of like a membership being my name on a roll that I just pay to renew. So when we hear Jesus talk about what it means to be a disciple, it sounds less like getting a membership card and more like joining an army. But instead of carrying some kind of weapon, you're called to carry your cross daily. And once we understand that, we can better understand the importance of today's topic, spiritual gifts. In an army, each person has submitted themselves to disciplines that make them ready to carry out the mission. They have submitted themselves. They have put themselves in submission, which for us, we hear that word submission and it's carried like lots of negative context. Like I'm making myself weak, especially in an American setting where we really celebrate the people who did it on their own, who by their own strength, I did it my way. But this word submission is nothing shameful. It's literally acknowledging that there's a larger mission and I have a subset of that mission. I am putting myself in submission to a bigger picture. So when you're in the military, there is a larger mission and you're given a part of that mission. And even within your unit, you have a role to play within that unit. And as you do your part well, it helps the entire unit, which helps accomplish the mission. That submission. So we saw Daniel this week. He had a very specific role to play at a very specific time that was all part of God's broader mission. Last week, we saw how Nehemiah was leading everybody, no matter their specialty, to build a wall. Because sometimes we're called to use our specific giftedness, and sometimes you just got to pick up a hammer, even if you're a perfume maker, like we saw in Nehemiah last week. It's all part of being on mission together. My point is that as we look into Scripture to understand what spiritual gifts are, it's helpful to remember that the context is less like a club that exists for our convenience and more like an army that exists to accomplish the mission of God. I know I've beat that so hard. You've got to be tracking with me by now. If you're not tired of analogies, I have another for you from the Apostle Paul. This one comes from God's Word. And I know we've got people in here who have said, I'm a visual learner. I like the word pictures. Paul is excellent at this. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given, pay attention now, God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, that's an ability where you go, so there's something happening beyond what you can figure out on your own, and you get a sense from God, a message to share in the moment. The Apostle Paul says, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See, in the Old Testament, we see examples like Daniel, where the Spirit comes on someone in power for a moment for a specific thing. If you read the book of Judges, you see that over and over. You see that with Samson. The Spirit came upon him and he did these amazing, sometimes really destructive things. But the power was more than just his own power. The Spirit came on him in power. And we see that happen in these moments. And then in the New Testament, something very different happens. The Spirit dwells within those who are forgiven by Christ, who put their faith and trust in His forgiveness and in His power to be the Lord of their lives. The Holy Spirit, instead of coming on you in a moment of power, the Spirit lives within everyone at the moment of your belief. That's an amazing transition from Old Testament to New Testament. And part of what the Holy Spirit does in us is the Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is like a talent, but it's given with a purpose of accomplishing God's will, His mission, through the body of Christ, the church. If we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see Paul describing this again. He said, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. I love he's talking about there's variety and there's unity. There's diversity and there's commonality. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, and I want you to pay attention here. It's given to each of us so we can help each other. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. This is what I mean by Christianity not being a lone wolf kind of adventure. You're given a spiritual gift so that you can help other people. If you're not getting around other people, you're not going to be able to use your spiritual gift. You may not even be able to discover it. See, God has made me a member of the body of Christ. He's given me spiritual gifts so I can help others as we together accomplish God's purposes. If you think about your fingers, they work together in specific ways that your heart and your lungs cannot. Your heart muscle isn't going to be picking up a pen or a donut. Gross. If you like word pictures, I hope that was fun for you to imagine. But if your fingers didn't have the heart and lungs to provide for them, they wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. So your heart and your lungs provide for your fingers. Your fingers provide a donut for your mouth so that it can provide beautiful, wonderful donut energy to your heart and your lungs. And they help each other. There is this process of contributing and benefiting from. That is how we're to operate in the church. Every member of the church is to find how they are to contribute and to benefit. That's how a body works. The best way to understand and discover your spiritual gifts, because you might be thinking, well, what's my gift? If you haven't figured that out already, that's a great question to wonder. And the best way to discover is through trial and error. Get around the church and try different things and see what happens. You definitely also want to, as you're doing trial and error, you've got to get the basics. You've got to pick up God's word and you've got to look for those passages that talk about spiritual gifts. You can find them. Practice 7 in the Believe book pulls out those scriptures so that you can look through them. There are also great resources that do the same thing. Some online resources that can help. One of my favorites is Spiritual Gifts Test. That's going to come up in the chat right now, so you can click on that at some point, where it will lay out the scripture, describe for you what are the spiritual gifts. I'm not going to do all of that right now. I'm going to suggest to you, though, that if you're going to take a spiritual gifts test, it's going to ask you questions about how you feel when you do this type of thing, when you do this type of thing. If you haven't done any type of thing within the context of the church, it's not going to be helpful at all. Trial and error. Get plugged in. Try some things out. And also realize you may not recognize your spiritual gift on your own. You may have, for instance, the kind of faith where you never doubt that God loves you, that you're destined for heaven, that Jesus died on the cross, and all of these things are written on stone within your heart and mind, and you assume everybody else feels the same way. That other people don't go through times and periods of doubt. Until you get into a conversation, a spiritual conversation with people, and you get real honest with each other, and you find out, oh, well, they're a disciple of Jesus, and they have doubts. Maybe that's not okay. Or maybe you have the spiritual gift of faith. Maybe you are a rock of faith within the church. And while others have doubts, they need you to continue to be that rock of faith. That's the gift the Spirit has given you and the way you can serve others. When I was in my 20s, I was asked to volunteer as a fourth and fifth grade kids club teacher in the church that my family was a part of. And I said, sure. They said, you only have to do it once a month. Like, oh, okay. And they gave me the materials. And I looked at the materials and they just didn't resonate with me. So I would go in and I'd teach the fourth and fifth graders my own way. And the adults who were helping would say, that was amazing. We love to hear you teach. It's more than just for the fourth and fifth graders. We love to hear you teach. And I thought, okay, I'm just kind of doing what feels right to me. And what I started to realize based on their feedback, oh, maybe I have a spiritual gift of teaching. And honestly, for me, as we're gearing up for a summer where we're going to have a multitude of different voices, different perspectives, people coming in, as I'm talking to people, would you please teach on a Sunday this summer? And some people are nervous. I don't get it. And some of you are like, oh, I would rather die than stand in front of that camera, in front of a room of people. I'd rather die than do that. I don't get it. Because I am so comfortable doing this. That maybe is an indication, like, I shouldn't assume that other people are going to be able to do the same thing I do, because God gifts us in different ways and we each need to use our giftedness. Now, some of you may not understand how when an administrative task comes upon me, I turn into a puddle. I cry like a baby when I've got to do something where that involves filling out and submitting a form or folding a piece of paper and putting it in an envelope and looking up an address and writing it on and finding a stamp and like, oh, I'm paralyzed. And some of you are like, I just do that all day. I will stand in front of hundreds of people and teach a lesson that I was just told the topic of 30 minutes before, but I will be paralyzed by a stack of paperwork. We have different giftedness. I surround myself with people who have the gift of administration. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am so glad that God makes those people and puts us around each other. My point is there's a variety of gifts. The best way you can learn them is through trial, error, success. You might need someone else to recognize your giftedness. This summer is going to be a great time to try some things out. I am stepping away for a few months. This is good for me. It's good for the church. The church board has said you need time of rest and renewal. I'm not in trouble. It's a thing that churches do, that different organizations do. A lot of universities do this. I even read that if you have a corporate job with McDonald's Corporation, they have a sabbatical plan. And for us, it's every 7 years, the church board says, get away, remember what it means to be God's child, not just God's employee. And for some of you who are thinking, boy, it'd be nice to have a summer-long vacation. You know when you're on vacation and after you're gone for about a week, you're kind of like, okay, all right, I'm ready to get back to real life. Okay, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you go, okay, I'm ready to get back to real life. What the church board is telling me is you can't. Even if you want to come back, you can't. You've got to take this time as an intentional time to reconnect with God apart from the regular patterns that you've been in. So I'm going to be stepping out for a few months. I'll be back the last Sunday in August. That makes room for others to step up. That doesn't mean you all, oh, okay, summer, we're taking the summer off. I acknowledge the truth that many of you became a part of this church and you stay connected with this church because of the way I teach. It resonates with you. That's not a bad thing. It's confirmation to me that I'm operating in my giftedness. That's a good thing. I hope you recognize the truth that God's purpose is not to draw followers to me, but to draw people to Christ. God's purpose is not to draw followers to me. It's to draw people to Christ. I want to be about that purpose. So if you're thinking, Aaron's not going to be here, I'm not going to be here, you're missing the reality of the church. It's not a club where you get to do what you want or just drop your membership. The church that Jesus builds is a body. It's a core, an army that he raises up, an army that he's building to plunder the gates of hell, to see people who are dead in their sins rise to new life, to see souls that are destined for an eternity separated from God coming into an eternity spent with their Heavenly Father. This is the mission that we're on together. And with that mission in mind, what kind of army would we be if people just went, well, this isn't what I prefer, or this just got a little bit difficult, I'm going to turn around and head back. I'm going to go back to the barracks. That's not the church. As we remember people who gave their lives for a purpose and a mission, as we remember that this Memorial Day, we have to acknowledge that an army of people who quit when things get uncomfortable is no kind of army at all. How are we going to give people a chance to discover their giftedness if we don't give them a chance at all? Take a chance this summer. With me gone, we have an opportunity to look to the Holy Spirit for direction. Come to Sunday teaching in person. Prayerfully reflect on what you feel drawn to do. We've got in-person gathering inside the building. We're going to have in-person gathering outside the building. And as you gather with people, listen for the Spirit's lead on you. You might be someone who, when you get into an environment, you look for people and go, that person seems like they're a little bit separated. Like maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe I could be an encouragement to them. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement. Maybe you're looking around and you see a piece of garbage on the floor and you want to pick that up. Or you see the work that's got to be done in this room and you think, I want to be a part of that. Maybe you have the gift of service. Maybe you're going to hear from teachers who are up here or who have submitted teaching via video or whatever, and you go, I think I could do that. I think I could do that. Pay attention to that impulse. Have a conversation with Mark and Rachel as they're hosting here and say, I'd be interested to find out more. At some point, I'd like to take a shot at that. Maybe you're looking around and thinking, well, it'd be nice if we had some coffee here. That's something I could do. Maybe God is calling you to participate in some way that serves others in the church. You might find out you have the gift of mercy. So many different things that as you just listen for the Spirit, you might think, boy, I'm just aching to have some music and some singing go on, and I can play music, or I have a voice that I've been told is wonderful by someone other than just my mom. Let's work together to help you discover your gifts and to use them to strengthen the church and accomplish God's purposes. You know what doesn't help so much? Coming into an environment like this and coming up to Mark and Rachel and going, you know what you guys should do? Don't start anything like that. Think about what God is telling you you should do. Sometimes we'll hear people say, boy, it'd be better if the church was like this. And then they contribute zero to helping that happen. That is not what spiritual giftedness is about. That's not what the body of Christ is about. The body of Christ is healthy when its members are receiving from each other, contributing to each other, listening for the instructions from the head, who is not the pastor. The head is Jesus Christ. This summer is a time for me to step away. Let you listen less to me, more to Jesus. It's for my health and for the health of the church. So my time to step away is a time for you to step up. Discover your spiritual gifts by being involved in Sunday morning gatherings, in Saturday work days, in monthly prayer events, in backyard missions. We've got all these different ways to connect and to plug in. And if you already know your gifts, tell other people what your gifts are and find out the best way to use them to strengthen the church and accomplish God's purposes. So as I said, I'll be back the last Sunday in August to teach the last chapter of Believe. Please, don't bury your gifts and talents while I'm away. If you want to thank me for my service to God and to you as a part of this church, let me come back to testimonies of how you stepped out in faith and obedience to God and saw God show up in amazing ways in your life and in this church. Show me that New Day is more than just a club that's here to meet the need of consumers. Show me that we are an army on a mission to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, so that we can see heaven invading earth and driving back the forces of hell as we see more people become disciples of Jesus and disciples of Jesus becoming stronger and better and more mature in Him. In Jesus' name and by the gifts of the Spirit, let the church arise. Let's pray. God, we do pray that you'd give us a sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the Good Shepherd, Jesus, calling our names. There are so many voices out there trying to grab at our attention, trying to influence us in so many different directions. I pray, God, that you would give us ears that tune out those voices. Ears that hear your lead and a courage to follow. I pray for the church this summer, for a New Day, that as I step out and you call people to step up, that there would be a strengthening that would happen here. I pray that it would be a strengthening that's for more than just this core, this body. I pray that this body would be a blessing to the community around us, across the street and around the world, so that you are glorified, God. You are so worthy. Let us be on that mission with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in. Next week, next chapter, Russ Wiegand is going to be here teaching about offering my time, and I tell you, he is an expert in the subject. You've got to tune in next week, and I'll catch up with you guys in not too long. Go in peace.